is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Michael Bernstein, my good colleague at the Hoover Institution, my guide on sanctions against Russia after the invasion of Ukraine, which happened twice, if you'll recall, 2014 and 2022. Three lessons, according to the Financial Times. The first one, it is important for you to understand that states that are about to be sanctioned or think they will start early to prepare defenses. Russia didn't start in 2022. Russia started in 2014 and made adjustments that were severe in order to prepare for the sanctions. Michael, a very good evening to you. The first lesson is prepare early for the sanctioned country. The lesson also is if you're going to sanction a country, be ready for the fact that they've got defenses in place. At this point, is it too late to do anything about those defenses? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you, and it is correct that the sanctions started in 2014-2015 after the first annexation of Ukrainian territories by Russia. And what is interesting, they made a much bigger effect then, and they were very mild sanctions, than the effect they did in 2022-23. And the Russians lost 4.7% of their gross domestic product in 2014-2015 because of the financial sanctions. And namely, what happened that at that time, they had to repay a lot of external debt to European banks and their euro bonds. And they didn't have the money. So they had to deplete their foreign exchange reserves. They reduced their money supply. They repaid the debt. They had lower credit, lower investment in the economy. Altogether, the money supply shrank, the production shrank, they lost part of GDP. But because of that, they were lucky later because they repaid a lot of their debt. They learned their lesson. They reduced their external debt in 2021-22, and they met the new sanctions in 2022 and 2023 with much better conditions in terms of repaying their external debt, and their schedule is more is much easier now, and they did not lose as much of their GDP because of that. So they did prepare.
The second lesson is that non-compliance must be punished. Their enforcement must be severe. How are we doing on that, Michael?
Well, we're doing, actually, it's a very good big issue because when the sanctions started in 2022, enforcement was very weak. It was very hard in 23. And then only in December 23, 3 months ago, less than 3 months ago, the United States government started to be serious about it. And the Treasury issued the directive and executive order was issued to impose secondary sanctions. And immediately, everyone in the world, or most important parts of the world, started to comply because they don't want, Chinese banks don't want, Turkish banks don't want secondary sanctions from the United States government, from the European governments. And what happened, I would say, the walls are closing because the three major Chinese banks are now refusing to serve Russian clients and to honor Russian transactions. Trade is down. Turkish banks and Turkish companies are way, way ahead of everyone else. And the Turkish terminals, just recently, a few days ago, the Turkish oil terminals refused to receive Russian oil. They used to ship Russian oil to Rotterdam and Antwerp in Belgium and to Rotterdam in the Netherlands and to Greece, major supplier. No more Russian oil through those Turkish terminals. And those companies are very much are saying that we don't want any trouble with the United States government. And then the Russians made a blunder. They thought that with buying tankers and using the shadow fleet, they can somehow circumvent and bypass the sanctions. What they didn't realize that when they are getting the flag from Liberia and the flag from the Marshall Islands, the registries are in the great state of Virginia. And those countries received notice from the state of Virginia that they cannot provide their cover or their flags to Russia. They refused. And suddenly, the Russians are losing their capacity to transport their oil and oil products around the world. Now they're switching to Gabon to get their flag, and half of their shadow fleet tankers are now in limbo.
Is Gabon vulnerable to secondary sanctions?
The Gabon's Ministry, of course, the Gabon's Ministry of Transportation or Commerce said that we will be very, very careful. We don't want to be a rogue state. So everyone in this situation, they kind of have a dilemma. On the one hand, they get tens of millions of dollars for nothing selling their name, their flag. On the other hand, they can lose a lot of money in trade and financial sanctions. So Gabon is very careful. It is providing cover now for Russia, but for how long?
And can Russia sell those? Can Russia move those shadow tankers without a registration?
No, because they have to pass through international waters, and there are environmental concerns, security concerns. Remember, a few months ago, Turkey said that they will not allow those ships through the straits because they understood that should something happen, the cleaning cost of the Turkish straits will be tremendous. So the Russians have to find other ways. It's not easy.
The third lesson.
Walls are closing. The walls are closing. The enforcement is the key.
This is the big one, the third lesson, that when you target a country, if it has a significant economic influence, Russia's oil, Russia's gas, that is going to be extremely difficult to enforce. Russia switched from trading to the EU to China. I don't know that anybody talked about that in 22. Have they learned from this? Is China successfully decoying sanctions so that it's getting around all of the restrictions?
Well, China is buying Russian oil at huge discount, and so did India. And as long as the discount is big, those countries are buying Russian oil. It's in their economic interest. It is correct that indeed the country that is independent in energy, in natural resources, is much easier to withstand the sanctions. Remember what happened with Japan and how Pearl Harbor came into history because the Japanese, under the sanctions, were denied American oil and oil from other countries that shipping was sanctioned. And Russia is, of course, lucky in this respect that they are major oil exporters and commodities and natural resources exporters. But the Chinese are also very careful because you cannot just buy oil or sell oil. You need financial transactions. And if the banks do not provide payments, there is no point there. And the Chinese banks are now very careful and don't want to provide those payments. So the trade is contracting.
Now, the Chinese, however, remain very well involved in the trading of merchandise because they trade through third parties. Is that how they do it? China buys and then it uses a trader in Alma-Ata to sell to Moscow.
All countries neighboring Russia are benefiting from the sanctions. It's kind of an unintended effect. All former Soviet republics, they speak Russian, they have personal connections there for years. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, the countries such as Armenia and Azerbaijan and Georgia and Turkey, all neighboring countries, they become middlemen. They have huge trading industries for this, and they're avoiding the sanctions up to a point. But again, the enforcement is key there.
And if you are a banker for a middleman, can you suffer secondary sanctions? Is that happening? We have about 30 seconds.
Yes, it can be happening. Small banks are not so vulnerable, but again, in China, the three major, the most important banks of China now, they don't want any secondary sanctions because the trade with the United States and the European Union is much more important than Russia. Russia is not terribly important for that.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution. The lessons learned so far on sanctions on Russia by the United States and its allies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.